Hello and welcome to the Beacon Group's Noon Step meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Desiree and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distraction to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience and awakening, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. Then we will split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And I have asked Sherry to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Hey, good morning, all you beautiful people. Sherry, alcoholic. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Today we will hear a talk on step 11. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Please give a warm welcome to Cecil B. from Houston, Texas. Welcome, Cecil.
You might have the wrong Cecil. My name's Cecil Ruby. I'm an alcoholic and I live in Buda, Texas, which is just south of Austin. I've been sober.
My apologies.
No, you're good. I've been sober this time since July 15th, 1997. My family started sending me towards AA in sometime in October of 78. I am an alcoholic. I always like to qualify myself. But before I do that, I will say that I have a home group. It is the Great Fact in Buda, Texas. It's a big book study. It meets on Tuesdays at 6:30. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor, and I sponsor men who sponsor other men. My family started sending me towards AA in October 78. And shortly thereafter, by Christmas morning, I'd had my fourth DWI. And let me tell you, 1978, you had to work really hard to get a DWI in Austin, Texas. But that's not what made me alcoholic. It's that I had that allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind, and the spiritual malady. You could never predict what was going to happen to me once I started drinking, what jail I was going to end up in, or where I was going to be, or what I was going to do, the damage that I would cause. So I'm here to talk about step 11. I always start my day with step 3, and then I move over to the questions on page 86. I don't do them at night. I do them in the morning. And I make my plans. And there was a guy that I started working with when I got sober this time that was really good about having me make my plans. And I didn't understand that we were doing a portion of step 11. Now, I've got to tell you, my concept of God was not very good when I got here, and it wasn't very good for a long time. I had this idea about God. I came in with this idea about God that he hated me so much that if I was on a plane and that plane crashed, I'd survive because he'd want me to live a long, miserable life. And so I was really, really stuck on the last part of step 3. I thought I'd taken step 3 as best as I could at the time. But that portion that said, as we understood him, was really, really hard for me. And I hung on to that concept. It was an old idea that I hung on to for a long time. I also hear things in AA that might not be AA. They might not be from the book. And I have a sponsor that explains to me what the black part of this book says. Because I started going in 78, I started meeting people. One of my friends that I had known since 79, and he had been sober probably since 77, he was called upon shortly after I got sober this time at a meeting that was on step 11. And his response was that he's a working man and he doesn't have time for that. Prayer and meditation. And being just a couple of years sober, I thought, well, I'm a working man too. I don't have time for it either, you know? And that's kind of where my step 11 went for quite some time. Then I talked to him about it a couple of years later, and he said what happened was they had called on him first, and he didn't have anything to say, so he just thought he'd give a smart response. And the problem with those smart responses is some of us grab onto them, and we hang on to them. And they don't do us any good. So it's really wise to read the book and to have somebody that'll sit with you knee to knee and help you understand that what the words mean. So I start with step 3, 60 to 63, and then I move over to 86. And yes, step 11 starts on the bottom, page 85. And what happens for me is that I try to write down my answers to those questions on a daily basis. Now, I'm not that good that I'm healed and it's daily. I'm pretty well scabbed over, but I still have work to do to get into the daily practice of this. And I think that the more often I do it daily, the more likely I am to have that conscious contact with God. I live on a ranch. I live on my family's ranch. Believe it or not, they had excluded me from the ranch for many, many years. And then after I got sober and started doing well, I was the one that they chose to come back to the ranch and take care of things. And there's animals that have to be fed. So I like to go through my questions on a daily basis. And then I'll do that walk down to the horse barn, you know, and I'll think about my corrective measures. Now, there have been occasions when I have made mistakes, some pretty good mistakes, some not so good mistakes. And there was a mistake I made last Tuesday. Around lunchtime, I was cutting some steel, and what happened was I caught the grass on fire, and we ended up with a big, about a 50-acre fire out here. And I didn't understand why the fire department wouldn't come onto our property. They went to the neighbors, and it was over an hour before we had a fire department in here. It's real easy for me to grab a hold of a resentment and hang on to it. And doing this thing on a daily basis, that's where I start to see what these resentments are. And if I have that same resentment for a week, on Sundays, I like to do a 10 step. But I got real ate up about that fire. I ended up burning up a piece of equipment that didn't need to be burned up, and a lot of trees. And it was just devastating to me. Because what it does for me is it brings up those old mistakes, careless mistakes that have caused damage to other people or animals. And I can dwell on those careless mistakes. And I have to, first of all, recognize that it's just a mistake. It wasn't intentional. And yes, it was careless. It is dry and it is hot here in Buda, Texas. It's over 100 degrees every day. And the grass is tall and brown. And fortunately, I sponsor guys, and I had one of them that came over and wanted to do a fifth step. And I've been doing this daily on this inventory type situation through this prayer and meditation in step 11. And I was having difficulty getting over it. When we do an inventory with, when we're doing a fifth step with somebody else, we have certain things that are brought to mind that I might not have had come into mind in this step 11 exercise. And so what happened is that I recognize that we've got people in our lives who are great examples of somebody that continues to do this kind of work on a daily basis. And me and this gentleman I was doing this fifth step with have this guy who recently departed a few years ago. And we always talk about, what would Buster do? You know, and Buster was the kind of guy that he had cleaned up everything in his life. And the book talks about that we have the capacity to be honest. And that doesn't mean we're always going to be honest, but Buster was one of these guys that was absolutely, thoroughly honest, unmistakably honest. And I think that's what I'm being directed to be when I do the work that I need to be doing on a daily basis, is to also be honest. Yes, I was careless cutting it in the grass, but it was a mistake. And just like I made a mistake, maybe the fire department made a mistake, you know. Page 19 at the bottom talks about most of us sense that real tolerance of other shortcomings, right? Not fakey tolerance, but real tolerance. And the more I do these questions on page 86, the more likely I am to get to that point where I can recognize that I believe that's where God wants me to be, is in that real tolerance of others as well, including the mistake I made. Now, for many, many years, I wasn't practicing this step. I had a friend of mine told me that he didn't start to get the pause until he was 13 years sober. And my head is always looking for shortcuts. And so my response to myself at the time was, why rush? It's going to be 13 years before I start getting this pause. I didn't even pay attention to where it was in the book. But the pause is on page 87. And once I realized that, when I wasn't getting this thing at 13 years, that's when I started doing the work more thoroughly. And trying to get to that pause. Now, like I said, I'm not healed. I'm pretty well scabbed over. And my pause is a lot quicker to happen than it used to be. It's still not as great as it could be. There's also something else on page 87, and it talks about the problem. The problem has been removed. And my sponsor had pointed out to me on page 45, it talked about what that's what this book was about, to help us with that problem. And the problem was that I could not drink. So by this time, from doing all this work, from 45 to 85, I get to where I don't have a drink. I don't have to drink. I don't have to think about not drinking. And prayer and meditation, pretty big in my life. And my two favorite prayers, first one in the morning is help. And my second favorite prayer is thank you. I usually keep on my desk a marshal's badge, a sheriff's badge, you know, because I can get pretty quickly into being the sheriff of the meeting, being the sheriff of the ranch, being the sheriff of my guys, you know, and I don't need to do that. Being the sheriff in traffic, that's my self-seeking just showing up over and over and over. And a gentleman told me a long time ago, it was making a deal with somebody else, not telling them what the deal is and being mad at them because they didn't follow through with the deal. And I think I need to get more quickly into the prayer and meditation and realizing that I want to have the real tolerance, not the fakey tolerance. So prayer. My prayers used to be, dear Santa Claus. Dear Santa Claus. You know, and I can even do the same, dear Santa Claus, with God, praying for somebody else to be well, you know, trying to give God directions as to what I want him to do. The less I'm playing God, the better off I am. And the more I do this work, 85 to 88, the better I get at that. It also talks about, if circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. Now, the only time I have anybody in morning meditation is when the guys come over or when I'm in a morning meeting. But my wife is in this program, and she's got 8 more years than I do. And we have very rarely gotten together for morning meditation, but I think it is a good idea. So corrective measures, and I think the corrective measures, after making my plans for the day, my corrective measures are going to be coming from God on that walk down to the horse barn. You know, I'm thinking about what those corrective measures would be. And it could be that I'm getting back into a ninth step, making an amends with somebody, somebody that I've yelled at, somebody I've said something harsh to. I've got a situation on Saturday that I get to clean up with some guys that work with me, and it has to do with a language barrier. And I had gone to the area assembly in lovely Brownwood, Texas on Friday, and wasn't here to direct my guys that come in and work on Saturdays. And if they weren't here the Saturday before, I told them they couldn't work that day, and it got confusing, and people feel like they're being punished. And I don't want anybody to ever feel like I'm punishing them. I don't ever want to be that guy again. I grew up from families that worked in highway construction. My father and my both grandparents, and the men tended to be a little harsh. And I gathered that attitude, you know, of being the guy that would throw his hat down and kick it, whether anybody was doing anything wrong or not. The idea was that they would be afraid of me. And I don't get to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that guy. I would rather be like Buster and be loving and kind and having real tolerance. So, you know, I often wonder, why are we doing this inventory type work again in the 11th step? And I was reading in step 11 in the 12 and 12 about there is direct linkage among self-examination, meditation, and prayer. So that's what we're talking about doing. It's just that linking my self-examination about what's been going on with me for the last 24 hours. And then trying to make those corrective measures that I need to plan in my day so I'm not making as many mistakes. And I think that's about it. I know I'm cutting short. I hope that somebody's gotten something out of this. I want to thank Desiree and Kimberly for inviting me. Desiree for running this thing and Kimberly for inviting me. If you need anything, please be sure to get with me and I'll be happy, or them. They'll be happy to give you my email or my phone number. Thank you.